Hello and welcome to episode 551 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Let's see, Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere online at Hey Dude Meg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey guys, how are you?
Hi.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. So I, based on this week's podcast, I assume we all went to see Devil Wears Prada 2 this last weekend. So I'm anxious to talk to both of you about it. I've seen a lot of your tweets about it, Megan. And I'm so glad that I don't get like into the depths of Twitter reactions or like online reactions, Reddit reactions, things like that to films or to content, because like it just would frustrate me so much. Like, and I sense that it was frustrating you. So I definitely, as we talk about the film, I want to dive into that. But yeah, I guess there have been some really bad takes on the film.
I think it's more just like, it's not even bad takes. Everybody's allowed their opinion. Like, honestly, I mean, that's, everybody can have an opinion, but I think that the thing that Joey and I've been talking about a lot is like this fandom of like, whether it's The Pit or Devil Wears Prada, I feel like people are acting like, you've got to make this for me. Like, how is this for me? I mean, that's what I'm gathering. Joey, is that kind of how you feel too? It's like, but this isn't right for me. And it's like, well, it's not supposed to be for just for you. And it's, and it can't be inclusive of all things that you want. And well, we could also talk about the fact that Devil Wears Prada 2 is an unnecessary sequel to begin with. So the fact that they made it anywhere near as entertaining as it is a miracle. And I just what do you want? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Before we jump into Devil Wears Prada, that I think you may be on
Joey,
to something.
Say something. His mouth is open.
Oh, sorry. Were you going to say something, Joey?
No. Go ahead. That's fine.
I was just going to say, I think you may be onto something there about the content for me, because that kind of ties into one of the things I, old man yelling at clouds, I hate the most about the last couple of years post-COVID on the internet, where everybody videotapes crap and or records crap in their lives. Like, I can't tell you how many videos I get. There's like a day in the life of a dad. It's 28, a day in the life of a dad going to work, a day, you know, and it's all like videos of these people just like making protein shakes and working, sitting behind. And it's just like, who the fuck cares? There's a certain generation that has become obsessed with their own content and obsessed with seeing themselves. And you have become, it's like everybody's got main character syndrome all of a sudden.
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting a lot of from the takes on it, were like just bizarre. They're just bizarre. Like, you can say, oh, I didn't like it, I wished it, you know, it was, didn't capture the same essence as the first one. Oh well. But people are personally attacked by this, like the fact that they didn't like it. And yeah, I just feel like people need to, as Joey would say, touch grass or smoke it. I don't know.
I'm at the point where I'd rather shove people's faces in the grass, because they need to learn how to shut the fuck up. It's so, I understand that, and I'm sure a sequel, if it would have come out like 3 years after the first one came out, it would probably be different. It would be a different movie. But I think I'm like really embroiled in how stupid I find so many of these takes. And I'm sure it is because so many people love this movie. So many people, it's a comfort movie for them and whatever. I love this movie. It's a movie that makes me happy. It's something that I put, it's a movie that if I put it on or if I see it on TV, I'll stop and watch a good portion of it. But it's just like, I don't understand how I just miss movies not being on the internet. It's just I'm so sick of like when I was just like, well, that's not the Miranda that I know. And I saw like some fucking faggot say that. I was like, that's not the Miranda that I expected. I was like, oh, you Joe Schmo Otterface in St. Louis, don't you disapprove of the whole movie because of 1 second of physical comedy from Meryl Streep from hanging up a coat? It's like they're like, that's not what I expected. And I was like, okay, well, the original writer, original director, original actress, and the original cast are fine with this. So it's just sort of like it, I don't know why it's so maddening to me, but it's been there's like been 34,000 different tweets, and I was like, this is stupid. This is stupid.
I'll tell you the version they wanted. This is the version they wanted because this is the version they would have made 20 years ago after it. It would have been Andy, or like if it would have come out, if it came out in like whatever, 1996 or whatever, it would have been that Andy is now a dowdy mom, a single mom, and she is getting back into work and she's working for Runway. And she has to get the makeover all over again. And she's working with Miranda all over again, who's never changed, who's still a bitch. And Emily is still working there and trying to take her spot. And it's the same exact plot. It's like Home Alone 2, which I know I don't want to say that because I know a lot of people love Home more than Home Alone. But like, I think they just wanted a rehash, a direct rehash. And like, the film does not do that at all. Like,
No.
you cannot do a film about journalism today without addressing the elephant in the room that journalism is dying. You cannot do that. You cannot have Miranda Priestly exist in a world where so many bad bosses have been fired, and like it's under a microscope now, the way you treat people in the workplace, more so than it was 20 years ago. So I don't know what world they want. I saw some people saying that they were hoping it was a little more lighthearted. You cannot do a lighthearted film like about these same subjects. It just is impossible. So the fact that they pulled it off in the way that they did is, as I say, a miracle. And so, oh, sorry, end of rant. End of rant.
No, it's you hit on
Well,
so many great things. Before you continue, Joey, let's just level set here. So we are talking about Devil Wears Prada 2. We're also going to talk about War of the Roses in the latest entry. And Megan's not seen this Michael Douglas movie
Megan
segment.
hasn't seen it.
But The Devil Wears Prada 2 is a 20-year sequel to the original film, where you've got Andy, played by Anne Hathaway, coming back into Runway because the publication for which she worked, an actual newspaper, folded. And so now she needs a job. And so that is, she is offered a position as features editor at Runway. She thinks it's going to be a prestigious role, and it is essentially not at all. And she, of course, encounters all of the characters from the original film in different ways. And that was one thing you bring up, something that's really important, Megan, I think, is that this isn't the same Miranda Priestly from the original film. This isn't a Miranda Priestly that has evolved in according to the evolution of time and a workplace, after the Me Too movement and all of that, in a more sensitive workplace. She is not the queen of the world. Runway is not the shining castle on the hill that it once was. So she has no position of authority. Therefore, she has to open herself up. She has to be, reined in. And it took me a while to get accustomed to that. But once I did, it's I bought into this much more. Sorry, I interrupted you, Joey. Please continue.
no, I'm just gonna be angry. I'm just an angry queer. It's just that I don't. So, the thing that I loved about the movie, like, I don't want to say, like, the first movie is not about something. Like, the first movie is a little bit about how, in a way, people don't understand, and the gateway here is Andy Sachs. Andy Sachs doesn't understand multiple things about the fashion industry, but ultimately, and this is for me anyway, this is something that is said by Stanley Tucci's Nigel in the first movie, that he says basically it's wearable art. You live your life inside of art, and you don't realize how much, you know, the cerulean monologue, like you basically like don't understand how the art, how the industry really sort of shapes the world without you kind of knowing it. And I thought to myself when I watched the second movie, and I was thoroughly entertained the whole time, that I thought it was like, oh, this is like about something. This is feels very present. And that's not to say the first one wasn't about something, but the first one was sort of like early 2000s. I don't want to say I don't want to say chick lit adaptation, like Devil Wears Prada, The Nanny Diaries, stuff like that. This felt so much more present to me. And something that got really bugged me, the people that complain about Miranda Priestly flying coach or Miranda Priestly, you know, like how do you guys not understand that that is like a plot device? Like it's sort of like he's like, this is how much she quote unquote she has fallen. Like she has to like she like in a way, actually, I think almost the if you would say the most unrealistic of thing, I was like, I think she probably would have been shoved aside a lot earlier. To be honest, that's the I would say would be the quote unquote most unrealistic thing about it. But I mean, like Meryl Streep has said, and this is going on, it's been going around where she said that she basically didn't have fun the first time she made the first movie because she locked herself away and separated herself from the cast. Let the fucking bitch have fun, for God's sake. And I just thought it was, I don't know, I just thought it was a really good movie. Like I was really like, it's not like good. In terms of like, oh, I think it's good because I was really enthusiastic about it. Like, I was really enthusiastic about Hocus Pocus 2. I tried rewatching Hocus Pocus 2 around Halloween this year. I was like, ooh, what a dog. What a dog that movie is. How sort of fortunate we are to have original cast, writer, director come back. They obviously collaborated on the characters and what they wanted the characters to do. And I'm gonna say it, I'm offended. The people are just like picking the movie apart so much because it's just like we could have had nothing. We could have had nothing.
Before I saw the film, I did see that tweet that had the picture of Miranda in the coach, and they're like, "This would never have happened." And I'm like, so I was prepared for that. So I got to it, and I'm like, "Wait a minute! It is very clearly explained why she's in coach leading up to that." Like, and
Right.
it's not even hard to get. Hard to understand, hard to comprehend. It's a very specific plot device. And I was
Yeah.
bewildered by that. And then the other thing there was a, there's a screenshot of, or there's a tweet going around where Andy is at the, what is it? The, Newport. No, not Newport. Where her house was, Martha's Vineyard. No.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're at the picnic, right? And Andy's down at Hamptons. Thank you. They're at the picnic. Andy's down at one end of the table, and Miranda is talking to someone else. I think it might have. I don't know if it was the editor, if it was Irv, or whoever it was. And they're insinuating that because Andy was staring at them, that she was jealous over Meryl Streep having attention with someone else. I'm like, there's zero sexual tension. Let's not make this a gay thing here, because there's like. You know, there's ample opportunity in all kinds of different art to say that. This, you guys are just, there's so many people that are bringing their own biases and assumptions and into art, and they're trying to make it their own, and it's weird. It's weird.
The thing that I'll say about, and this is what I sort of have to like land on, is just sort of it bothers. First of all, no one will be happy no matter what. We sort of have to accept that. I've almost toyed with like muting the phrase "Devil Wears Prada" just because it just. I think I'm more offended because I was just so shocked at how like it's a well-made movie, I sort of have to think about the thing that I want to say to everyone who say like the characters aren't the same. It's just sort of like I'm 42. I'm not the same person who I was when I was like 20 years ago when I was 22, thank God. But the other thing that I sort of realized that I thought today was the trailer for, and I tweeted this, the trailer for the Amazon, like, Elle Woods prequel came out, and it's literally, okay, so Elle Woods is, like, I don't know, in her teenage years, and she's acting exactly the same as if she, I mean, she basically copied what Reese Witherspoon did from the first movie way back when, and it's just sort of like, we could have had that. That could have been what this movie was. And that, like, I'm sorry, like, I understand, like, it sort of bugs me, like, the same way that, like, 20 years ago in a sequel and we see the same people with the same haircut. And it's just sort of like, I understand why you're doing it, but it's not the same thing, whatever. But even, like, the way that they're having this young girl who's playing, like, young Elle Woods, like, move her body, and I was just like, this is bad. It's going to probably be bad. Like, you just want people, like, I think like that is, like, the biggest member berries, like, circle jerk bullshit, and I'm so happy that Devil Wears Prada is not that. And I'm sorry, I've just been so angry for, like, 5 days.
No,
But it's just sort of like, oh, it makes me so angry.
this is how you make a legacy sequel. This is not, I know, Megan, you talked about, like, go watch Force Awakens. You know,
Yeah.
that is not
Oof.
how you make a legacy sequel. That is just
Burn
catering to an
down.
audience
Those,
and
I'm
then.
sorry. Yeah. Those fuckers loved that film when that came out. And we're like, I remember all the thank you, J.J. Abrams, and the salutes on Twitter. And everybody was just like, ugh. Like, and then they turned on that like two or
Not make
three
this the clip.
and they were like, oh yeah, it's like, it's not that good. And then they didn't like the second one because the second one took risks, right? And then they hated the third, like, anytime they took risks. So the only one they really liked was the one that was a direct ripoff of the original Star Wars. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, do you want to see new characters? Then don't do it. And like, I actually had very low expectations for. I did not want to see Devil Wears Prada 2 until the reviews came out. I will say that. I thought, no, I have no desire because I thought it was going to be what I described, where Mandy Sachs is, I'm a frumpy mom and I've got to get made over again. And like, I've got self-esteem again. Like, I don't want to see that. I'm glad that they leaned into the idea that, like, a lot of women are singles, 40s. Ooh, and working and childless. And I like that they did that. And I'm glad that they did that. And so I don't know. I just think that I don't know what people want. I don't know what people want, but it's really disheartening.
The fact that we have been, the movie came out, like, what, last Thursday? It hasn't even been a full week, and I've seen people complaining about the characters not being the same, the boyfriend, which
Yes.
everyone's like, what a boring piece of shit. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I saw somebody, I literally typed out a reply to a tweet. They're like, the clothes aren't even that good, and I, like, looked at their profile picture. That person lives in a basement, and I was like, can you spell Gabbana? I don't think you can. Or Yves Saint Laurent. I'll give you $100 if you could do it. And then the clothes aren't even that, like, it's just this snarky know-it-all, like, thing that it's not just Devil Wears Prada, it's the pit, it's all
Right.
this, it's all this, like, me, me, me. You didn't satisfy my itch.
Nigel doesn't have a partner in it. He
Oh
doesn't.
my God, I had to
Yeah.
walk away from the conversation. It's like, they couldn't have mentioned that he had a partner, and I brought up, like, 3 points, and they were just like, no. And I was like, okay, make it up.
It
Make it
would
up.
be against the rules of that character to say that he all of a sudden had enough time to have a committed long-term relationship, because it's so clear, and that is what the emotional payoff of his sequence is. In the end of the film, he gets the opportunity to rise up to an occasion because he has dedicated his entire life to working at Runway for Miranda Priestly, being her second.
His love affair is with fashion. That is his
Yes,
partner.
and Runway,
You don't
and
need don't you don't need to like simplify that character and with give him a partner for no reason. Like,
no,
oh, there's
because
like, who are they? Yeah. Nathan Lane
If
is playing.
you
Even though I would welcome Nathan Lane into the.
Who is this nobody? This Nigel would have a better boyfriend. Where's Jonathan Bailey? Blah blah blah. Like,
Yeah.
just
I have
makes
to
me.
say,
Ugh.
watching this, it makes me wonder. Meryl Streep's great, Emily Blunt's great, Stanley Tucci's great, but for me, the MVP of the film was Anne Hathaway. It makes
I
me wonder,
agree.
like, are we as a culture sleeping on how great Anne Hathaway is? Like, I know she's got an Oscar. It's hard to say. It's hard to call somebody underrated when they have. You know, she won every award that year for Les Mis, but I just feel like she does all kinds of different things. She's good in this. She's going to be the best thing about The Odyssey, I can guarantee you. You know, she was a good Catwoman. She did that weird movie where she was the girl that had the Godzilla. You know, she controlled
I
the.
love that movie. I love
Yeah, I
that
mean,
movie.
she takes risks. She does.
Yeah.
You know, Armageddon Time was one of my favorite films of the past couple of
Yeah.
years, and she was brilliant in that. And we are absolutely, as a culture, sleeping on how great she is.
But do you not remember 10 years ago, or a little more than 10 years ago, everyone hated her
Yes, they
and
hated
were
her when she was winning
turning
that
on her?
Oscar.
Yeah, when they turned on her when, like the way they're turning on this film. And even like I just, the hot takes on this, like I said, they're awful, but she's great in this, and it's so funny. I love the scene where she comes back and she's like, "Hi," and she's like, "Blah blah 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 blah," and I love how Miranda's just like, "Who are you?" And I know, like, I do agree that the way they cut the trailer, it did make Miranda seem like she had dementia, like maybe dementia, but like. Clearly, she like everything Miranda was doing. Of course, she would not remember her. Of course, she. And then I like how she slipped back into Andrea. Like, of course she would. Like, that is so in line with that character. Like, I just thought there were a lot of little things that really worked. And that was one of that opening of just like, oh, she's back, and then she's just like, and I'm sorry, who are you? Who is this person? It was great.
I gotta say, in terms of loving Anne Hathaway, like, I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for that movie Verity that's coming out
Yeah.
this fall, and I was like, ooh, that's like campy as shit. I cannot wait to see it.
Oh
But
yeah.
I
And
saw
she
Mother.
go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
No, go ahead.
I saw Mother Mary last week, and what, like, I'm not as like hugely high on that movie as a lot of other people are. But like the shit she does in that movie, she sings, she the stuff between her and Michaela Cole is like really great. So like every 20-year-old homo on the internet, mother, like, it's mother. Ooh, she's mothering.
And oh, she looks
It's
great for 43. If I see
like,
that one
oh
more
my
time, I'm
God.
freak out.
It's like,
Yeah.
love the Princess Diaries. Like, fuck you.
I mean, she was, as much as I hated that movie, she was great in Eileen. She was great in Mother's
Oh, yeah.
Instinct. I love
Yeah, Mother's
Mother's
Instinct
Instinct.
is a campy movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of
Oh.
camp, she and Jessica Chastain are both good in that one. Yeah. That's a hard one. I think I could ever watch that one again.
Colossal is the film I was thinking
Well,
of.
yeah, Colossal. I love that movie. But
She's
she's like
just.
this year she has Verity, The Odyssey, and The End of Oak Street. Like, those three alone are crazy. And she's working with Oh, Yesteryear. That movie Yesteryear that's coming out. Is that
Which
happening?
one's that?
No,
Oh,
the one
she's
where made it yet.
in development. That's not coming out yet. That's just in
Yeah, I'm on
development.
her like IMDb thing. Jason just bought that book, but yeah.
Yeah. I got the book just because she picked it up, and I'm like, okay. Because she's just becoming, to me, she is just such a hallmark of quality. Like, you know, you may not love the film that she's in, but she's going to be good in it. I mean, it's just, and for me, she just ran away with this film.
You know who she reminded me of a lot in this movie is Diane Keaton. I don't know if you
I could
felt
see
that
that.
vibe at all.
I could
Just the
see that.
like, oh hi, just like, oh, I've got to go do this now, and just being very like resilient with her spirit, because that's the way she is. I mean, Andy's grown. You see that with her that she's confident now. I mean, Did they want her, like I said, did they want her to go back to being not confident? Because I just think that that's boring. I think they want a 90s sequel that just recaps the first one. I think that's
And
what they, and they wanted same feels.
they wanted Adrienne Grenier in there and a cameo to say, "Oh, we separated," or whatever.
Even though they hated him. I'm like, so
Yes.
wait, they hated him. He was the villain of the first one. Then they don't like Colin from Accounts in the new one, who I thought was fine. And was just there to kind of show that she wanted companionship. And I thought that that was fine. Like, I know some people were like, this was so stupid and slowed the entire film down. Like, okay. Oh
Well,
my
somebody
God.
liked it because it did make more money worldwide than Michael, which is huge.
Yes.
A
I
movie
mean,
that
it
Megan's
proves that
parents
women want.
enjoyed.
What did you say? Sorry, Jerry.
A movie that Megan's parents enjoyed, yes.
Yes, I wasn't going to bring that up. My mom,
Sorry.
my dad not see it. Because my mom's like, you're going to make fun of me now that I like Michael. And I'm like, do you want me to make fun of you on the podcast? I said, it's fine. I'll probably.
For the record, I did not make fun of anybody. I just brought up a simple declarative point.
I will probably like Michael too because Michael Jackson's music is incredible. But as a true crime person, I will also want the sequel to be about the trial. Like, I want it both ways.
My God, you're just like the people who don't like The Devil Wears
Why is
Prada.
this not for me?
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
I do
So,
think we consistently underestimate women going to the box office, women and gay men going to the box office. Like I think that, yeah, like Joey and me, come on. Like we should know that you put out something like this, they're gonna come out. And especially if it's good. And the reviews were good. Like I said, I wasn't planning on going until I saw those reviews and I was like, okay, then I've gotta go. And I'm glad I did. I actually think in some ways it's better than the first one. Because it was about something more.
it is about something more. I find the first one to be frothier and more throwaway, and exactly as Joey said, it pops up on TBS every now and again, and you're going to stop and watch 15, 20 minutes of it. At least catch the Cerulean monologue, which that
Yes.
reminds me. This is how you do member berries moments. The scene where she walks in the park and someone's selling the two belts from the original film in the
I
background.
missed that.
Yeah, there's that. And then the fact that she's
Where's
wearing the
the sweater
cerulean
vest?
sweater in the end of the film, but it's been changed a bit, but it's the same
Yeah.
material, it's the same color. Callbacks to the original film where she's made a joke about when you take the book, don't go upstairs. And he's like, whoever would do that? You
Yeah.
don't have to replay those moments. Just, something subtle in there, just for fans of the original. I caught all that
Yeah.
stuff and I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But you called it in the beginning, Megan. You said it was technically unnecessary. I know what you meant. Like, there's nobody was really screaming for this, but I think it makes itself justifiable because it does set itself in a modern world, and it reflects the state of journalism and magazine publication. I don't know that it's, I mean, I don't know that it's, it interrogates that or says too much about it other than it's bad and it's happening. But at least it's giving us a modern moment. And very few films kind of take this sort of slice of what's happening currently. I will say another show that's doing that right now is The Comeback. Where it's about AI, it's about Hollywood losing jobs, and it's a very specific moment in time, and it's almost like a cultural time capsule. So I would say in that way, it's justifiable.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, like because I initially thought it was unnecessary because I thought that, like I said, I thought it was going to be just a rehash, but it is necessary. And I, but like we didn't need it, then maybe we do need it. You know what I mean? Like maybe we do need this. Although I don't want to hear anybody talk about it anymore. Like do I need to
Yeah.
read all these hot takes about it? Maybe not.
Also, I do want to know, tell everybody who is horrified And this is maybe just for journalists out there, but anybody who is horrified that Andy is typing directly into their content site, I write articles directly into our site literally
I do it
every
all the time.
time. I do not
Yeah,
write
I
them
do it
in
all the
Word
time.
docs.
I don't write them in Word docs. I put them right in
So
there.
wait, people want them to write it in Word docs and then copy and paste it?
But then she did do that at one point where she had like buy Andy Sachs and stuff, which I thought that was funny because I never do that. I never put buy Megan McLaughlin at the top. But yeah.
I just thought it was funny because there was some
That's
journalist that mentioned that on there, and they're like
yes.
horrified. I was like, "Well,
Yeah, I
I
know. I
do
was
it all
like,
the
I
time."
do that. I thought that was, I didn't realize she was doing that because I couldn't really see what her CMS system was. So,
Yeah, it was runway like a three
yeah.
boxes or something like that. It was kind of ridiculous looking, but that's okay. I mean,
Yeah.
it doesn't have to. It's not disclosure, so.
It's so unrealistic. Oh.
All right. Anything else? Any passing thoughts on Devil Wears Prada 2?
No, everybody should go see it
Yeah.
though and enjoy it and laugh out loud like I was during so many moments.
And let's kick off the fact that we have the summer movie season starting with no mar by with a huge box office, and it's not a Marvel movie. It's not
Right.
a Top Gun. It's not, it's it's Devil Wears Prada 2. So, yay. And it's making tons of
Yeah.
money.
Yeah. Ooh,
All right. So
that's
let's.
all. That's all.
That'll do. That'll do, pig. That'll do. Which, by the way, I never knew that I wanted a movie of Babe crossed with Knives Out until I saw the trailer for The Sheep Detectives.
I'm dying
Oh
to
my God.
see that.
I'm
I haven't heard many good things about it, though.
really, it's gotten
Okay.
really good reviews.
That's, is it? I thought I heard, read some stuff that was like, oh, this was not very good or something like that.
The sheeps weren't that realistic. The
Yeah.
sheeps in my backyard, that's not how they solve murders.
It's got a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
I'm so
when is that
fucking
coming
excited.
out? Oh, sweet.
This
Oh, damn.
weekend, yeah.
I do want
All
to see
right,
that.
let's talk about War of the Roses. And Joey, why don't you tell our listeners what War of the Roses is?
Divorce. War of the Roses is about how men take things from you and are really shitty, and you give everything to, you give everything to them, and they no. War of the Roses, I would say is a I would say a pitch black comedy about Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas. They play people who get married, and then when they realize they're, for lack of a better phrase, realize that they're not a good match for each other, they have a very bitter divorce, dividing of the assets, if you will. This is not a movie for people who like cats.
Or movies.
So many movies. I need to create like a master list of like reasons why cat lovers should not watch X, Y, and Z. So it's basically about a vicious divorce. Excuse me. As told by Danny DeVito, who plays a lawyer who can't stop smoking and lighting up cigarettes that he says he was gonna,
A 13-year
not
cigarette.
smoke. Yeah. So, yeah, I had forgotten. I guess that's basically the whole plot of the movie. I guess the moral of the story is if you think you're going to divorce somebody, make sure your prized possessions are not in your house, because your spouse will destroy them just despite you. I had forgotten. I guess I'll just say this before I turn it over to you guys, but I had forgotten how much I hate Michael Douglas's character in this movie, Oliver Rose. He's I sort of feel like he's I feel like he to a certain point I was like, you do not deserve Barbara Rose, let alone Kathleen Turner. And I feel like to a certain extent, I was like, I've forgotten how much he's just like sort of like very dismissive and borderline not there. And yeah, I love Kathleen Turner. End of sentence, I guess.
Megan, you really hated this movie.
I did not like this movie at all. I had a really hard time with it. I think because I went into it thinking it was going to be a couple pit against each other, and it would be like, oh, they're I see both sides. But no, like it was clearly like I feel like this is such a movie from the 80s that they're trying to make, Michael Douglas's Oliver, this like, oh no, you can side with him. She didn't come to the hospital when he broke his foot or had a heart attack, like, and I'm just kind of like, no, he's just awful. And she, like, you can see in that first scene of when they get rich, she has taken all of the spark out from her. Like, she has no spark left. And I don't know if that's the marriage, or I think it's the marriage, but he just, I never understood why they were together. Even like that male, like Danny DeVito's male gaze was ridiculous. Like with her upside down with her legs in the air and him being like, I love you. Like I love gymnastics. I forget. He says something stupid. Also, when she's like, I like the rain. And then she puts her chest up and you can see her nipples. And he's like, I like the rain too. I was just like, oh, okay. Like there was never anything sincere about their dynamic. And I just never bought it. I thought it was I had a really hard time. I thought it was boring.
Wow.
I just like was kind of like, okay, like let's get to like I kind of knew what was gonna happen. I thought it was dark, but I didn't think, I don't know. I just could not get into it. I think this was probably like peak Michael Douglas, me not liking Michael Douglas in this is like I felt bad because I'm trying to give him a chance, but this was very hard.
Now this is you absolutely are right to loathe him in this film, because this film does not, I don't think it asks you to take sides. I think it's definitely 100% behind Kathleen Turner, because there's just, because you're right, there's so much leering, there's so much male gaze, there's so much belittling of her, it hypo I think in his mind they're a happy couple until the kids move away or it's time for them to go to college. And you're right, that very first dinner where he's trying to become partner and they're talking about the Baccarat crystal, that's the exact moment where she realizes she does not love this man anymore at all. And the only reason they do stay together is because she buys the house. And she's invested her emotions in that house for 10 years, I guess, is
And it's
probably.
the ugliest house I've ever seen. Like the decorations were so gross. Like, and I
They're
know it's
very 80s.
probably, yeah, in 1989, it was probably like, this is the peak of like little like Kewpie dolls or those weird like statues. Like, it was just so 80s. But Kathleen Turner is so good. It makes me want to watch Romancing the Stone because I do want to give them another ch chance. I do want to give Michael Douglas another shot.
This is their, if you compare them, because they make three films together, and Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan make three films together. This is their Joe versus the Volcano. This is an acquired taste movie where it's weird, it's dark, and it's not at all kind of like the fluffy romantic drama or romantic comedy of Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile.
And you know what's interesting is everybody, I was reading a lot of reviews about it, and everybody was saying like Danny DeVito's direction is just so pitch perfect. And so, but I actually think the direction is what I don't like about it because you don't get a sense that you should be on Kathleen Turner's side. There's never like, I don't know, I feel like it wasn't funny. And maybe this, I'm also think that this is probably because I'm watching it in 2026 and things have changed, but I just, there weren't any laughs for me. And I felt like it was because it wasn't played for laughs. In some ways, it was played for just a straightforward watching this couple just like essentially kill each other. But I don't know. What did you think about that? I also found his narration in the like that whole thing. Like Dan Castellaneta should get an Oscar for just looking not bored during all of like
Joey, what do you think?
I probably have just a perspective as a homosexual of fine, let the woman beat up the man. I for some reason got really I got really mad at his character where she's having the dinner party and he like gets up on the counter and
and
pees in her
pisses
food. And I was just like, all right, like I understand like rules of engagement and hey honey, I don't I'd be literally, you're not gonna piss in the cod. Like give me up. For some
And she
reason
says
that
to him,
was
I would never do this to you. And I believe her. I don't think she would
Yeah.
ever have done that
No.
to him. And that's why it bothers me that it doesn't play up that, like, it plays up they're even. They're almost like it's even an even match when clearly she's the one who's like the victim of him. I guess that's kind of what I'm like. Why isn't she the protagonist? Why are they both shown as protagonists in this?
I think that
Yeah, I thought the part when I was watching it, and so it's still that whole sequence, and he store they both she storms out and she I really want I kind of wish she would have used the car as more leverage. She's like, well, I bought you the car. Well, I guess it was their money, but I mean, she's like, well, I bought you this car. I had it shipped over from the UK. And when he was like, no, not my car, I was like, fuck you, peed in the fish, you humiliated. I was
Yeah.
just like, no, all bets are off. That's when I was just like, fine, let the man suffer.
I think I've seen this movie somewhere between 5 and 10 times, and the only thing I do think Danny DeVito's direction is interesting of the material. But the only thing that is a false note to me in there follows that scene where she has asked him to come to a dinner after he's destroyed the kitchen, you know, and then, you know, she brings the pate that she supposedly makes is so great. And then she convinces him that she's chopped up the dog and cooked the dog in the pate. We see a very quick cut to the dog outside to let you know that Kathleen Turner is not soulless and evil. She did not kill a dog, even though he accidentally killed the cat. That I didn't this that scene I always have a problem with because I don't understand what her motive was there. Like, are you just trying to push him over the edge so that he will? Because then that is the piece that instills him to attack her. It becomes a physical altercation after that. Like, yeah, she's locked him up in the sauna. She's done all, and he's done things too. I just what did she gain from that? And is it a cop out that she didn't kill the dog?
I agree with that too, because I think that when that happened, I was like, oh my God, she killed the dog. Wow, this film is dark. Because I was reading all these, like, people were like, this movie's so dark. And I guess maybe it's because I've seen darker shit. I'm just like, I don't think, I mean, if she'd killed the dog, yeah, on purpose, that's dark shit. It's not that dark. She ruins his car. Okay. They get into a fight, fist fight. Okay. When he also said in the beginning when she hit him, I will hit you next time, which I thought was really that. I thought that was dark, and I think it was supposed to be. I don't know. I couldn't get sense the tone. Tonally, I think it's very hard to decipher what it is. I don't think if you don't have the music, I think it's just drama. Like it's kind of like zany stuff, but I don't know. I agree with you on that.
I was listening to the score and I was like, oh God, you know, this is I can spot Danny Elfman a mile away. And it was not Danny Elfman, it was Thomas Newman. And I'm like, Thomas Newman in his most Danny Elfman-esque score. I don't know. I just find, like, the way that DeVito frames some of the fight sequences toward the end, where she's, the china plate becomes a projectile that, just goes spinning toward the camera. There's a lot that I find funny when she's in the truck and she's leaning out. She gets the CB. She goes, "Get out of the car, hon." It's like, I don't know. I find it very funny. The book is actually a little bit nastier. I've read the book years ago. It's a little bit darker because at one point she in the book she takes the planks out of the steps into the garage, and so he walks out of the garage door and then falls 6 feet onto the concrete floor.
Somebody also called this Home Alone for marriages. This is the second Home Alone reference I've had in this podcast. Home Alone 2, now Home Alone 1. Home Alone for a couple, which I do love that description, given like all of the hijinks. Are there mouse traps at some point or something upstairs? Like,
Yes. In the attic, when she's hiding in the attic.
is Home Alone. Oh my God.
Is she a gymnast in the book?
I don't remember. I don't remember that aspect of it.
I had forgotten. I've forgotten about that. Like she like goes down the stairs and she does like a
She
cartwheel,
cartwheel, and
or
that's
when she gets on
funny.
the chandelier and she's just swinging back and forth. But then also at the same time, it's kind of like sort of the thing that you were saying, Megan, about like how leery it is. He's like, it's like she was really great in bed. She was a gymnast, and like you could basically see Danny DeVito like
Like,
splooch his
oh, I
face.
know. Like, just
But
like
don't you
maybe a
think
hand
that,
or foot job under the table and the opening set.
but don't you think all of that stood up to be parodied of men? This is attack
Oh,
on
I.
men. This is attack on masculinity.
It doesn't feel like it though. And I'm trying to figure out why, because I feel like it's still trying to have them on this playing field of her versus him instead of kind of taking her side a little bit. It never does, and I think that's why it always just feels like oh, I don't want to take sides. That's the most manliest, like the most man thing you can do is, oh, I don't want to take sides. Like, and I think that's what Danny DeVito is doing. Like, oh, hands off. This is what happened.
I have to disagree with that one because I think it definitely takes a side. I think it is 100% in her corner.
I guess
I
that's.
actually wonder if we would have seen this at the time of it was released, considering how probably women were represented in film and stuff, and just sort of like social commentary. I guess I feel like an audience would naturally root for Kathleen Turner just because she's like, see what this woman is doing? Like, it's just sort of like she's standing up for herself. She's sort of claiming things for her own. I think maybe it's in retrospect. I more so agree with Kathleen Turner, just because I think he's so much a doofus in terms of like, this is just how men behave. Does that make sense? Like, it's just sort of like, this is how guys behave. And she's sort of just like not, she's not taking it anymore.
I guess I would feel that way if it didn't ogle her with the male gaze so much. If it presented her not where the first time we see her, it's her tits, like that we're paying attention to. That just set the tone for me. I was like, oh, this is man's point of view. Like it's, Danny DeVito getting a foot job under the table. It's and him being like, ugh. Like I just felt like it didn't have her in mind, I guess, is what I took away from it.
Well, there are two moments where it does have her in mind. One is where he has essentially hired a live-in, and she gets that, 2 3 minute monologue about her internal turmoil and like, I don't need this. This is not something I don't want to be defined by this. This is not who I am. And then when she sees she's hurting that woman's feelings, and she's like, let me show you where your room is. And there was another one. where she explains to him why she didn't go to the hospital, that she pulled over and she realized she was happy. She was being open and honest with her feelings, and he is completely unable to accept any of that. Like he's the I have always thought this, you know, ever since I first saw it in 1990, it looks at him through a parody window. Like he deliberately, from the first time you see him, he's got the horrible wig on. Like he is the object of derision the entire movie.
Because I just didn't. I mean,
Yeah,
he was an
no,
object
that's
of derision for me, but yeah.
well, I mean, you're
But
looking
no,
at it from
that's.
a woman's perspective, so that's, you know, it's different perspectives for sure. That's interesting.
Now, but now it's making me rethink his direction, though, that like, it is interesting that, like, I don't know. So many people like it. I wanted to understand, like, more, but I do think I need to see another pairing of them. So I might make you guys watch Romancing the Stone.
Sure.
Okay. Joey's
Just
like, not again.
not Jewel of the Nile. Not Jewel of the Nile.
Is that one bad?
It's not good. It's not good.
Okay.
I don't have even heard of that movie.
It's the sequel.
That's where when the going
Oh, I've
gets
heard
tough,
of
the
it
tough
then.
gets going. That's where that song came from. Yeah.
No. I thought that was from Three Men and a Little Baby.
No, the video has the three of them in there dancing around with
Oh
Billy
my
Ocean.
God, you're right. Oh my God. No, I forgot about that.
Is Danny DeVito in all three of them too?
Yes, I think
This
so. I'm
was
pretty
like
sure that he
peak
is.
Danny DeVito. Like, this is when he was doing Twins and like he was on a hot streak.
It's so
So,
bizarre
Clarence, of
to.
the
I'm
three,
sorry.
do you like Romancing the Stone or War of the Roses one?
War of the Roses.
I mean, I will admit that when I first started it and like they meet in the rain after the auction and they're running, she's like, I'm Barbara, and she's like running down in the field and it cuts to them like fucking somewhere, and I was like, okay.
Well, I was texting Megan, and when the part where they're like having sex for the first time, I was like, oh, you can tell a man wrote it, huh? And then I don't know. I that's the only part that I originally was like, all right. But then I mean, I believe in the power of Kathleen Turner, so
It's interesting. I went back and looked at it. It got three Golden Globe nominations. They were nominated, and the film was nominated, and zero Academy Awards, zero Oscar nominations. And it came out at Christmas, too, which is equally perverse, the fact that it came out at Christmas and did quite well, actually. I think it made 80 million, which is probably more like 150, 175 in 2026
So it
dollars.
wasn't a bomb. It wasn't a box office bomb.
Not at all. Let
Okay.
me just make sure that I'm right here, because
Romancing the
I.
Stone had one Academy Award nomination for editing, I believe.
Yeah, it made 160 million worldwide in 1989 dollars. It cost 26 to make, so quite profitable, which is weird because Danny DeVito, this was his last really successful film.
Yeah, because didn't he do, I feel like, did he do one in the 90s
He
that
did
was with
Hoffa.
Drew Barrymore?
Oh.
Oh, he did Hoffa?
Yeah, he directed Hoffa, which was supposed to be another Jack Nicholson Oscar vehicle,
He
but it
did?
was. Yes, he directed
Oh,
Hoffa.
wow.
I didn't know that.
I thought he
Yep.
directed one with, what was the movie with Drew Barrymore and Ben Stiller?
David Mamet wrote that movie.
Really? He wrote
Hoffa? Yeah.
Hoffa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm asking about Duplex. Directed
Duplex.
by Danny DeVito.
Oh.
I know my Danny DeVito movie. Joey, didn't you see that and hate it? You were excited to see it, Duplex, and then you w went to see it and
Is
were
that the
upset.
one where they like kill the lady downstairs?
Yes.
I don't think I saw that.
I thought you were like, I can't wait to see it. And then I remember you seeing it and being like,
I don't think that's true.
okay,
He
who was
went
in it?
from Throw Mama to the from the Train to War of the Roses Then he went to Hoffa, which was a disaster. Then he went to Matilda, which I don't, I mean, people liked it, I think. I don't think it did well.
Cult classic.
Yeah. And then he did
Children
Death
of
to
a certain age, my age, like it.
Smoochie, which killed his career,
Oh,
I think.
that's a cult classic though, I feel like.
Amazing.
I've never seen it, but I've always wanted to see it.
And Duplex was the last film that he directed. No, there was something called Curmudgeons, which I've never heard of.
That's a short. Did a lot of shorts. The
And
last.
he's short, which is funny.
He also did a TV movie called Queen Bee with Alicia Silverstone, Jennifer Carpenter.
Well, I'm sorry to put you through a film that you really hated, but your reaction is really fascinating.
I'm glad I saw it. Like, because I do want to see Romancing the Stone, because I do think we should make that the next one. If we're gonna do like Megan hasn't seen it,
So
Michael Douglas extravaganza.
you've never seen Romancing the Stone, right?
I started it and I quit watching it when Michael Douglas came on.
I think we need to bounce around. I think we need to make Megan
What do you
watch.
want to
Should
make
we?
me
Okay,
watch?
wait. Okay.
I've never seen Death Becomes Her.
But that's not Michael
Sorry.
Douglas.
I
That's not
know.
Michael Douglas.
Okay, I know, but I'm just saying movies that I haven't seen. Yeah. If you want, you said you wanted to jump around, so I didn't know if
Well,
you
I don't
wanted.
know if we want to stay. Do you want to watch like something like? I mean, we can stay on the Kathleen Turner, Danny DeVito, Michael Douglas train, or I would say maybe something like Falling Down or The Game.
Oh, or
I
Perfect
love The Game
Murder or
or
Perfect
Perfect
Murder.
Murder.
I'll watch The Game or The Perfect Murder or A Perfect Murder, whatever you
I'm
choose.
fascinated. I think what we have to do is once we get through all these movies, Megan, I think I need you to keep a secret list of ranking of all the movies that we make you watch, and then Clarence and I are going to have to guess the order in which you rank them.
We also have to, you've never seen his Oscar-winning movie, Wall Street, right?
I feel like I haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, we have to
I
watch
feel like
that
you would
too.
know if you have seen Wall Street. Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see. Michael Douglas.
Like, I know I've seen bits and pieces, and that's probably like the one I'm most comfortable with him. Like, I'm like, okay, you're a sleaze. I can deal with this. I also remember seeing the end of, remember when they did the Wall Street sequel? I remember the end ends with like him and Shia LaBeouf. Carey Mulligan, all with the baby to, and like David Byrne is playing in the background. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
You say that as if any of us, well, I have never seen that movie.
Yeah,
I
no,
haven't seen
neither
the whole
have
thing.
I.
Yeah, I just saw the ending when I was like, I'm like, what's going on? Why is
How do you
David
know the
Byrne?
ending? That's crazy.
What? I only know
How?
the ending.
Have you never seen American President?
Oh, I hated that movie.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Did not like that movie.
Okay. This
This is
is.
like make me laugh. Michael Douglas, make me laugh or make me like you.
He's never going to do that. We don't have to do this experiment. Something's never going to make you laugh.
No, and I, Michael Douglas made an entire career out of playing men that everybody hates.
Right.
I can't
Yeah.
think of a. Sorry,
Oh.
go ahead.
I can't think of a role where he is a positive male figure that you sympathize with. I can't think of
Oh,
any.
God.
American President is probably the closest.
Yeah.
Remember that one
Should.
got too complicated. I remember I'm just like, stop it.
What's like something really random, like The Ghost in the Darkness?
Oh,
I've never seen that.
never saw that one.
All I've seen is there's a woman who gets attacked by a lion. I think she's holding a baby and the lion jumps on her and starts killing her. It might be Emily Mortimer. Hold on.
Should we watch Ant-Man?
Oh, God.
I do love him in
All right, this
Falling
is my
Down, though.
last
We've talked about
podcast.
this. Yeah.
You like him in Ant-Man? Is that what you said?
No, I said I love him in Falling Down.
Oh
Long Jump
yes,
Street.
I've seen bits and pieces of that one. I remember when it came out, I was not allowed to watch it. Face, he's in Face Off? No, he's not. Did he produce that?
Are you on the producer tab?
No, I'm on his I just
Oh,
put Michael
we should
Douglas.
watch A Chorus Line.
Oh, he's awful in that movie.
That
I have
movie
to see that movie. That
sucks.
movie sucks. That movie sucks.
I actually think that they should remake A Chorus Line and Bradley Cooper should direct it. And then
Oh, I
at
love
the Oscars, he can come out of the closet.
that.
I've never seen I would say that if we're going to do the next one, I would either say Falling Down, Romancing the Stone, or Wall Street.
Okay. You
Let's
guys
do
pick. I
Romancing
don't
the
care.
Stone. Let's do Romancing the
Okay.
Stone. Let's do another we'll
Okay,
do another
let's
Kathleen
keep on.
Turner, Danny DeVito thing, and then we'll jump off to Falling Down or Wall Street.
Was he in Autumn in New York? Oh no, that's Richard Gere. I'm sorry.
He was the producer of Face Off.
Okay, because I would say Face Off's an amazing film.
Your
I love that movie.
the titles that you are naming in this last segment, Face Off? Is he this old guy? Is he that old guy? Do
I would love that.
you think whenever him and Catherine Zeta-Jones like cuddle up on a Thursday night, turn on Netflix, she's like, "Weren't you in this movie?" And she's just like searching. It's like, were you in Autumn in New York? That was Richard. Were you in? She's like, that's you. And he's like, that's not me. All
Oh
right,
my
let's
God.
jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
Sure. I don't know. Oh no, The Sheep Detectives. I'm legitimately excited to see that movie. It just seems really sweet. God forbid we have something sweet. I think the cast is kind of insane. Just every single time I see the trailer for it, I immediately feel kind of happy.
Me too.
So I'm super excited to see that. Frank and I on Friday are going to record a podcast. We're going to talk about some gay shit. We're going to talk about some gay movies. And there is a movie that is coming out in limited release that he and I have already seen, and we're really excited to talk about. It's called Blue Film. It is starring Reed Birney and Kieran Moore. It was rejected from a couple of film festivals because of the subject matter. It is about a cam boy who gets promised a large sum of money to go to a guy's house and just sort of like perform at his house. And it turns out he's like wearing like a ski mask or something. And it turns out that the guy was a teacher at his school who was arrested and served time for pedophilia. And it's actually, I think it was rejected from South by Southwest and Sundance. I can't remember, but I think the script is amazing. I think it confronts things in a very interesting way. And I think the conversations are very, very textured without excusing anybody's behavior. I think it's really, really good. And I that's sort of against the rules of the flash forward. I've already seen it, but it's I'm not seeing it again, but it comes out this week. So if people are in like New York or LA, it's coming out. So I just want more people to see it. And I look forward to my conversation with Frank because we're gonna get faggy. Just gonna do this for the rest of the time.
Megan, please stop him.
Stop. I'm trying to catch up on a lot of things. I've just started watching Trust Me, I'm a Prophet docuseries on Netflix. I finished The Dark Wizard on HBO, which is an incredible docuseries. It is so good. I highly recommend it. And I'm basically, yeah, just trying to get through as much as I can to watch as much as I can. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I really don't have much more of an update. I'm boring.
In my world, I think the only movie that I'll be seeing this week is probably Terms of Endearment because it is Mother's Day this weekend, and that's our annual watch. TV wise, I have been catching up on or watching Four Seasons, season two, which is it's really good. A little bit funnier, a little bit more cohesive than the first season. Still watching Ultimate Baking, Survivor, and that cooking show that comes on after Survivor, hosted by Padma Lakshmi. Yes, Joey.
I'm really behind, but if Juan does not win Ultimate Baking, I'm gonna flip the fuck out. Not because he's gay, because he seems like he's the only person that I thought is still attractive with a neck tattoo.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure you
And
would.
then
Aren't you glad for my input?
yes, I and then continuing my rewatch of Parks and Rec. And then I listened to the podcast series by Michael Connelly, Killer in the Cove, Solving the Black Dahlia and Zodiac Crimes,
Ooh.
where a an autistic amateur sleuth. What do they call him? Citizen sleuth. I think that's what they call him.
Citizen
Citizen
detective.
detective. Yeah, whatever. He re-evaluates the unsolved Zodiac cryptography, or the clues that were printed in the newspapers, and comes up with a name. And they actually pinpoint that name to a man who was one of the primary suspects of the Black Dahlia murder.
What?
Yes.
This is
Could
a
it have been?
podcast?
Yes. It's a podcast
What's it
series.
called?
It's called Killer in the Code. And the guy actually comes up with some fairly compelling evidence. So, I would
That's interesting.
appreciate it if both of you would like to listen to the podcast and we can talk about it.
I'm a little obsessed with the Black Dahlia thing. Oh,
It's
I
more
don't
about
know.
Black Dahlia than it is about the Zodiac, I would say.
I'm gonna have a really hard time listening to anything about the Zodiac thing, as we've talked many times before. It freaks me the fuck out. So have to make sure I'll be listening to it with all the lights on.
I thought about rewatching that film, and then I remembered the Lake Berryessa scene, and I'm like, not ready.
Wait, which scene?
Lake Berryessa, where it's in the
Oh,
daylight.
Zodiac?
Yeah, in Zodiac.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Black Dahlia. I was
No,
like,
no,
I don't
no.
remember that.
No.
I just
The
remember Scarlett Johansson's lips were like this in Black Dahlia the whole time.
that movie was
I
crazy.
was
She
that,
was so
okay.
pouty.
I was so down to see that movie because I was
I
obsessed with the
remember.
trailer.
I remember you were obsessed with the
And then
trailer.
I read the book. The book is
Yes.
by James Ellroy. And I love the book. The book is great. And then I watched the movie and I feel like there was at one point I was like, this sucks. Like I went to see it at the
I went to
theater.
see it together,
I
didn't
was
we?
so upset. I
I
was like,
remember being like, this sucks too.
I was like, this is bad. And I think I
Yeah.
remember telling you, I was like, no, it sucks more because I read the book and it's not anywhere close to being the book. And then I was even more upset because my dad really wanted to see it and we saw it together first. And my dad's like, I'm really excited to see Black Dahlia. And I was like, ah, to see it again. It sucks. Cinematography nomination.
Because I do remember we were like, yeah. And then we were
Yeah.
like, no,
And then I was like,
no.
I'm horrible.
Yeah. I remember it
And
being very bad.
Hilary Swank was really terrible in it. I remember that about it too.
I'm a
Think she was
lesbian.
in it. Wasn't the girl from the L Word in it too? You
Yeah. I
know
don't
what I'm talking
remember.
about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was also around the time that L Word did its season of like film noir type of, there was a murder mystery on the L Word.
What?
Do you remember
I
that?
do. I remember there was a one. I remember in the tra it's in the trailer. There's a moment where Hilary Swank says, "Elizabeth and I made love once," and I was just like, "I don't believe that for 1 minute." And I was just like, and I was just like, "I'm from a trailer park, and I can't believe this is happening." And I was just like, "No, you would never. This is an Oscar." Oh, I could just.
I was saying, grab your real Oscar.
But I
You
was just
bought her as a boxer, didn't you? You thought she'd be a boxer.
no,
No,
don't think she could eat pussy.
you bought her as a millionaire heart, didn't you?
Like, I want to be free. The only reason I can quote the Amelia trailer is because of my ex-boyfriend, Mike Molinaro, who listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
So I remember he would call me like when that movie was about to come out. He would be like, "Hi, Joey, I want to be free." And I was like, "Stop quoting Amelia to me."
All right.
That's
Does
great.
that cover it?
Yeah.
Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the three M's contending co-founders, Clarence Moy, Megan McLaughlin, and Joey Moser, thanking you for watching us and listening to us and joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find us. Click like and subscribe here on YouTube, and wishing you all a very pleasant tomorrow.